This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Aside from a thousand concerns over whether what's happening to their child is normal, one of the key worries that new parents might have is whether they have enough access to their pediatrician. A new online portal, drbudak.com, aims to solve some of these issues. Joining me today to explain what it is exactly are Dr. Foo Chee Ho, pediatrician and one of its founders, as well as Dr. Kalairasu Periasamy, pediatric dental surgeon. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hello, Trudy.
Hi.
So firstly, why did you feel, Dr. Foo, that a platform like drbudak.com was necessary?
First of all, Zahila and I, we thought of this idea of setting up a website, a Malaysian website, you know, of Malaysian pediatricians and pediatric specialists informing and educating Malaysian parents. We feel there's a need for this kind of platform, and we need to participate in the conversation. We know, when we first started, there was hotly debated issues like vaccinations, and we feel that we have to participate, you know, otherwise the cyberspace may be dominated by misinformation. That's principally like that.
So what was the process of setting it up like?
If you ask the technical part, it was very easy. Once we decided to set it up, we were toying with the idea to come up with a website, a blog site like this for more than a year. And then when the right time came, I think Zahila was very compelled and inspired at that time. So let's do it right now. Within the same day, I think we used the WordPress blogging service. It's a free service. So we set it up the same day itself. We bought the domain name Dr. Budak for only like $60. And it was quite easy, just like setting a blog site mainly. So we started with just Zahila and I writing, and then we got more and more team members along the way. Yeah.
And on your part, Dr. Kalairasu, how did you join in with this platform?
Right. It's just like what Chiho said. I think the founders really wanted to have some people on board, and all of them had to be like pediatric linked. Yeah. I happen to be a pediatric dental surgeon, so it was really helpful to be part of their team. And it was rather spontaneous, really, for us to be part of this, online thing where we could really participate in the Malaysian public sphere. And there were lots of questions, certainly, and it was something that all of us could help each other. And this was something that really excited many pediatric linked people. And I was one of those people, lucky ones, I guess, who was enlisted early. Yeah, I think that's how we became involved, yes.
So do you think that pediatricians get more questions than other doctors? Because I feel as if... I feel as if parents as a whole are perhaps more anxious and open to talk about their children, as opposed to when you yourself have a headache, you might not go see a doctor, but when your child has a headache, then it's a totally different thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, yeah, parents certainly get too excited, but really for real good reasons, really, because children can't fully express themselves, and parents therefore have lots of questions, and sometimes those questions need to have good answers. I think the Dr. Budak platform has offered that option to many parents, particularly those who are savvy online and those where you have internet penetration to the level where you can actually communicate with doctors who are perhaps people you would like to speak to in simple language. And that's how I think parents get involved.
Yeah.
What are some of the more common ailments that you both see in your practice as pediatricians, or rather as pediatric-linked doctors?
For myself, I see mainly cases related to high-grade fever, infection, respiratory tract infections, asthma, dehydration from diarrhea and vomiting. And of course, there are also more of chronic issues like my kid is not gaining weight well because they are picky eating. And those sort of things, yeah.
On my part, really, many of these common illnesses are viral in nature, affecting the mouth. And of course, many children suffer from dental decay and its consequences. And those questions that I get to answer are very much linked to this two major domain, essentially related to feeding and decay, and also to oral or mouth infections, but also to some extent some injuries to the oral facial area, particularly to teeth, and for young children who toddle and have a fall, they knock their teeth. So these are the sort of things that are common in the public and reflected in the questions that we receive as well.
And do you find that the bulk of the questions are to do with these sorts of conditions, or are they just about anything and everything?
Well, I think there's a correlation. I mean, there's a general well correlated between the common ailments and the kind of questions we receive. Another thing to point out would be that a lot of parents think that pediatricians can answer everything about the child, including the teeth, the eyes, the ears. You know. So in Dr. Budak, we are very happy that we have a more comprehensive team, a holistic team, I would say. We do not have just medical pediatricians. We have pediatric-related specialists. And so when they really ask us questions on dentistry, you know, on about ophthalmology or the ear, nose, and throat, we would then direct these questions to the experts so that they get a real proper answer.
One common theme that comes up a lot in the interviews that we have with pediatricians is that parents need to be involved in the health of their children, and a lot of that is to do with observing them and therefore being able to note the changes that happen if and when their child is not feeling well. So what advice would you have to parents in terms of observing their child and spending time with them and monitoring their health?
Well, I guess many of us grew up with observing how our own parents brought us up, and I guess that reflects in our Malaysian public sphere as well. In terms of advice, really, what is normal need to be recognized, and any change that happens outside of this norm is an observation that parents need to be alerted to. And the common signs in children, fever, for example, not taking food, for example, having bowel movement that is different, and refusing to sleep at the prescribed time. These are little observations that will alert the mother or father to a problem the child may have. So these are simple observations. Of course, there are more obvious signs and symptoms. I'm sure Dr. Chihu will elaborate further.
Yeah. I would say parents, especially first-time parents, they may not have much to begin with, but it's going to be a steep learning curve for them, right? Yeah, by observation and all that, but what the mind does not know, the eye does not see. So they need to equip themselves with information. So that's why we hope that we will be a platform that will be able to inform. It's a media-savvy kind of society right now. They spend a lot of time with their Facebook and Twitter and blog sites. So might as well, while they were surfing the internet, and they can come upon some links that link to these kind of articles that we wrote, we published, then it would be good. Yeah, so by equipping themselves with information, they would then make good observations of the child. Definitely, as they interact more with the child, they would be able to know, judge, you know, what kind of today's crying, my baby is crying a bit differently. It's a different kind of tone. It's a different kind of character. So I should be worried, and, you know, that kind of thing, yeah.
How would you characterize the level of health knowledge that young Malaysian parents have based on the correspondence that you receive?
Well, this is not easily answered, trust me, because I think those who are internet savvy, you know, they do have sufficient information at hand. Perhaps in terms of full knowledge, not really in terms of knowing all the signs and symptoms, certainly. But, you know, out there, I'm sure many parents know to some extent, you know, diseases affecting their children and recognizing the problems. And I think, to be fair, I think we are fairly acceptable, the level of knowledge, because, you know, without that, we won't really see so many children appearing in hospitals and clinics where parents get very, you know, alerted to their problems early. Yeah.
Of course, it can be improved, I would say. Acceptable, maybe average. Some kind of questions are really, really show that the depth of their knowledge, which can be sometimes shallow. But which is why we aim to really, in years to come, you know, by informing more, educating more, we would see less and less of late presentations or over anxiety among parents. A lot of, like I said earlier, young Malaysian parents, they start with a clean slate. You know, the only kind of information they get maybe most likely from their in-laws, from their own parents about childcare, so which may be slightly misguided sometimes and outdated. So. But it's a steep learning curve. Yeah. I would like to give credit and congratulate all those parents who come forward and, you know, approach us in their questions. These questioners, definitely they have a desire to seek knowledge, you know, and yeah. So we are happy to be able to help that way.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Foo Chee Ho, pediatrician and co-founder of DrBudak.com, as well as Dr. Kalairasu Periasamy, consultant pediatric dental surgeon who contributes to the site. We are discussing DrBudak.com, an online portal that allows parents to write in with some of their questions to be answered by pediatricians. And our lines are open as well. So if you have any questions about DrBudak or about your child, you can send them through. That number is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me are Dr. Foo Chee Ho, pediatrician and co-founder of DrBudak.com, and Dr. Kalairasu Periasamy, consultant pediatric dental surgeon. We are discussing DrBudak.com, an online portal that allows parents to get their questions answered by pediatricians and pediatric specialists. As mentioned, if you have questions for us, you can text 016-201-9000. You can also tweet at BFM Radio. So, we've talked about how parents can write in once they've noticed that something is not quite right. Two questions here. How much detail can you really get out of the letters that are sent by concerned parents? Because I think when you have somebody right in front of you, you can probe, right? You can ask further questions. But when you just have one letter, is it enough?
Well, I guess it depends on how you put it into perspective. Some questions are very straightforward and simple. To the extent, I think perhaps they're shy to ask their own doctors. Yeah. So having us online helps parents to even ask very simple questions, and that, to my mind, is helpful. Some questions are answered in very detail. Obviously, parents do surf the net and they have additional information, and so you don't really need very long questions. But obviously, clinical examination and observation of the child in a real scenario offers much more detailed knowledge for the doctor as well as the parents. And certainly that would be the way to go forward too, especially where there are issues pertaining to the child's overall health and emergencies.
I would say anyhow we will be able to come up with a meaningful answer. Definitely we would love to have more information. Yeah. But like, for example, Dr. Kalai, please tell me about tongue tie. I think that's quite straightforward. You can come up with a very good answer. Now, if the answer comes out like, my child has been vomiting for a few days, should I be worried? What can I do? Now, definitely I need more information to really give a proper diagnosis, but our answer is more one that is like a guidance. You know, we want to guide the parent how to approach the vomiting and to really spur the parents to go and seek help. So it is good to emphasize that Dr. Budak is never a replacement for face-to-face real-life consultation. We are not going to replace that, but we want to be a platform that will be able to allay over anxiety, fears, you know, unnecessary fears. At the same time, you want to also be able to approach the dismissive kind of parents, you know, who are okay with writing a question online, reading online, but may need some kick in the butt, you know, to go see the doctor and line up in the emergency room or something like that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. When do parents need to see doctors? Because I think for some people, they might get over anxious, right? If their baby too much crying, they'll bring the baby to the doctor, you know. On the other hand, you have people who don't spot signs early enough, and it's hard to say why that happens, really. So when definitively should parents really go, okay, let's get in the car, let's go to the doctor?
I'll say definitely, you know, the few key signs and symptoms there that you must seek immediate treatment. Don't even bother going to DrBudak.com. Like things like, you know, my child is having high grade fever for days, very lethargic, change in behavior, severely dehydrated from vomiting and diarrhea. You know, your child is not eating and not passing urine, or the tummy is bloated, very distended, and or just like something, your gut feeling tells you that something's not right, very not right with your child, don't hesitate. I think in no doctors would ever scold the parents for being over anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you even come bother to come here? But we would be very sometimes quite mad when for late presentations. You know,
yeah,
I think yeah.
So, if a parent is thinking about writing in, then what tips would you have, I suppose, on how to get the best answer possible? You know, what kind of details do I need to provide? Things like, I guess, age of the child would help.
Age is very important. Weight.
Yeah, age, weight. And I think the main concerns, certainly, and trying to be specific to the concern is helpful. And also to add in additional details, like in my experience, I've had parents giving such wonderful, you know, information that you can almost diagnose a problem just by reading the letter. So getting adequate information is helpful.
Photos?
Photos? We have not encouraged photos at the moment. It's a very tricky issue. But we have allowed our own publications. We have referred to some cases and so on and so forth for information. But we have not encouraged parents to submit, you know, children's photographs.
Yeah.
Are there issues of privacy at play here?
Yes. Right. There's some issue. And also, besides that, there's also technical reason for that. Because we are trying to streamline the channel. We want to have just one single channel where the questions can come from, not via email, not via Facebook. Posting, attaching photos and videos may be of a technical problem. At the same time, privacy as well. I think we can have enough meaningful questions and answers. Yeah.
So at this point in time, where can people send their information through?
Oh, yeah. You go to the website. There'll be a nice link that says, ask Dr. Buddha, ask a question or post your question here. And then you will see a categories. Which category do you want to ask? Which, because we already have a set of questions that are answered already. Most likely, the question of the parent could have been already answered by us, and you know, they could just, you know, shortcut and click on the. Otherwise, if they cannot find the question that they wanted, then they can submit. Log in and submit. So it's quite easy. Yeah.
Yeah. They also publish articles on the website they can refer to, and it comes from various disciplines that are linked to Dr. Buddha. Mm-hmm. And those are really well-written articles. In fact, we've got people who are in undergraduate level who find that information useful for mm-hmm. themselves too. So it is actually well-written, and parents can infer lots of information.
They could also use the search button sometimes. Not just, you know, your search button, you write Batuk, or you write Tidur, even in Malay, because we have a good collection of articles in Bahasa. So, yeah, even that, you may find your answer there already, kind of thing. But of course, if not, then you write, type in your question. It's quite easy, just like how you type in comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the moment, then, the site is mostly in Bahasa and in English?
Yes. We write articles in both language, sometimes same topic, but two translation.
Yes.
And was that in response to the kinds of questions that you saw coming in, or was it something that you wanted from the start to make sure that you had a bilingual website?
Yes, that was the purpose in the beginning. But definitely, we get a lot of questions in Bahasa. Yeah. So which would then, we know the kind of demography of questioners we get.
Yeah.
Moving on to some common sources of frustration, I think, for parents. One is you not being able to understand why your child is behaving the way they're behaving, why they're crying like this, why are they throwing a tantrum and so on. So what do parents need to understand their child's cries and verbalizations?
What do they need to understand? I think if they spend more time, they spend time with their baby, they're the ones taking care of the babies, they would be able to slowly appreciate and differentiate the different kind of tones of crying and behavior of the baby. I think they would know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because if a child comes with a toothache, you will know that it is toothache, because the child will point to the mouth or show some sort of, description of pain, and you know, they'll avoid taking food, yeah, and perhaps their sleep is disturbed.
Yeah.
So all of these things would be, you know, pointing towards a problem. So you can almost always find, yeah, the problem.
They may not be able to verbalize their pain or their discomfort, but they definitely cannot lie, because it will show in the way of their cry, their facial expression, and yeah, things like,
yeah,
that.
Doctor-patient communication is important when it comes to just trying to get a diagnosis, trying to devise a plan of treatment, obviously. As pediatricians, do you spend more time talking to parents or to children?
Oh, okay. Now, my training in pediatrics, talking to parents is an art. And definitely, we spend a lot of time talking to parents, but I would say equal amount of time. We definitely talk a lot to parents, but at the same time, we interact an equal amount of time with the child. Not so much of getting history from the child, especially the younger ones, but interact with them to observe and to examine them, yeah.
And to get them comfortable with,
yes,
you.
Yes,
true,
yes.
True. In fact, the child becomes a focus of both parents and doctors' attention, and try to be the party in between to solve, yeah, the child's problems, yeah.
So how do you deal with fear then? Because I think I certainly remember as a child hating, yeah, going to see the doctor, and it had nothing to do with my doctor, who was a lovely pediatrician. You know, it just has everything to do with children not wanting to go where it's cold, where it, yeah, smells funny.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
I thought for a moment you wanted the fear of dentist.
That too.
I still fear dentist.
I guess that sort of thing happens all the time, and clinicians are professionals, and they can actually allay fear both among the child and the parents. And you should have a friendly looking nurse, and you know, clean attire, colorful little surroundings, music and play. So children do become less anxious, and you can start, yeah, to address their problems. So that's one way to look at it. There are modern little devices now, of course, to help the child along the way. So not a major issue now, yeah, for some.
My clinic is like a toy room now. But like it or not, sometimes we still fail to prevent the child from crying.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the basic principle is that we try not to dominate the child. We try to distract the child while examining the child. Have to make the child comfortable using toys,
yeah,
music, and also the parents. And sometimes, if the child is comfortable being carried by the parents, no point bringing the child onto the examination couch. No point. There's no,
yeah,
point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just we,
yeah,
can just examine everything while the mother's carrying. Mm.
Dr. Fu, you mentioned late presentation just now as being something that can get, yeah, pediatricians worked up. So what is the significance of getting early intervention when it comes to your child's health?
Yeah, because a stitch in time saves nine. Conditions like fever, right? If you had fever for 3 days, you should come and check. I mean, just when you start to have high-grade fever, you come to see the doctor. Commencement of treatment early will prevent a severe infection. Newborns who are jaundiced, if you present it late, it will lead to severe jaundice that can lead to brain damage. Otherwise, it can be easily resolved just by a day of phototherapy. A child who is having diarrhea and vomiting, cannot drink anything at all, if you have come earlier, the doctor will be able to plan a course of treatment for you. Otherwise, you will come severely dehydrated, and it is such a pity, you know, to lose someone just because of a easily preventable illness. Dengue fever as well, it is deadly, but if you present early, definitely the doctor will be able to plan a treatment plan that will to carry, you know, to help the patient to sail through the course of the illness. If you present it too late, it could be irreversible, the damage, you know.
On the other hand, though, are there conditions that are hard to catch early? I mean, even from the doctor's point of view, where you might have a patient come in with general unease, you know, they're generally not eating well, but the temperature's not very high, so on and so forth. I mean, is there the danger of coming in too early before it really kind of starts to show?
Well, it can happen.
Yeah,
I mean, there are lots of illnesses. Certainly viral infection, for example, takes a bit of a time to come in. But, you know, these are things that certainly can be followed up.
Yeah.
So doctors
that's
will
fine.
Usually arrange for reviews to be alerted to what might happen next. So
yeah.
That's a fun.
So I always remind myself not to be too dismissive, even though the child it's very, very early presentation. Then I would then try to give a checklist to the parents. Okay, here's what you should watch out for. And I would like to see the child again in 2 to 3 days' time if there's no improvement. Yeah. Now, that way, there's a safety net, you know, for the child. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say, don't come.
Don't come back. And Dr. Buddha came about at a time when vaccinations, the issue of vaccination was the truth is it is still a major issue, and it's still something that continues to have misunderstandings surrounding it. We see the measles outbreak recently in the United States. So what then is the importance of getting vaccinations against common childhood illnesses?
Oh, it is very important to us. Vaccine preventable diseases. They have vaccines for a reason, right? They spend so much money, research and development to develop these vaccines because they want to prevent these kind of diseases, which can be very deadly. Even if it did not cost them their lives, it will lead to healthcare burden and economic burden, right? So, yeah, as cliche as it may sound, prevention is better than cure. So vaccination is important because it prevents diseases that are deadly.
And what would you have to say in response to parents who are worried about complications? I don't want to mention that one study that has been the cause of an awful lot of this, but for people who are worried about complications in general from vaccinations, what would you say in response?
Yeah, I mean, let's not get emotional. Let's not easily bring in the conspiracy theories, the kind of thing that we are there to cause harm. Let's look at the facts carefully, pro and against. If we study the kind of adverse effects that may happen, how frequently do they happen, and we compare them against the frequency of complications that may arise from diseases like measles, it is quite clear cut that it is not worth taking the risk of not vaccinating your child. Of course, we recognize that there are parents who have children who have problems with their immunity, they are immunocompromised, they are not suitable to receive vaccines. Now, which then, for us with healthy kids, it is very important for us to contribute to the herd immunity so that these immunocompromised children, they are protected as well. Yeah.
Another worrying trend, Dr. Fu, you say that you see a lot of high-grade fevers in your practice, and I read recently that, more and more parents, more and more people in general, asking for fever medication or antibiotics for simple conditions that in theory should clear up on their own, or that you need the fever, but instead you choose to medicate. What are the potential issues with doing this, with having a mild fever and then requesting fever medication, or with having a mild infection and requesting antibiotics?
Well, I think antibiotics is very clear. Antibiotics will non-judicious use of antibiotics, carelessly using antibiotics, would lead to antibiotics resistance. You expose your child to drug reactions that could have been avoided. It's like such a hassle, to develop reactions from the antibiotics when you don't need it in the first place. As for fever medicine, I think you should only take fever medicine after consulting your doctor, and also discuss with your doctor on the method of using, how much do you need and what are the indications and when you should give it. Like it or not, a lot of parents, they are most worried about fever. They are very scared that it's going to damage their brain. And there are a lot of parents who didn't even know what is the definition of fever, or 37 is fever, the kind of thing.
What is a fever?
37.5 above is fever, you may only need to take action if it's more than 38 sometimes, So, again, back to, we have articles on anak saya demam, fever, the danger of fever, the kind of thing. So, if they have more, they have information on this, they are educated on this, so they will not be so worried and be so anxious to medicate.
We have a question here from a listener who says, my daughter's cheek has a darkened patch due to overuse of steroid cream application when she had severe rashes when she was a baby. She's now 6. What should I do to get back her colour?
Interesting question. Perhaps there's some hyperpigmentation, and usually children do get pigmented after a skin lesion. They tend to improve over time, certainly. Yeah. But do consult your doctor and perhaps get an appointment to see a plastic surgeon or at least a dermatologist to get further investigation before you make a definitive diagnosis.
I would say don't rush into using any alternative medicine. Give some time. Like what Dr. Kalai said, the pigmentation may slowly improve over time. Most likely she had a very bad eczema, this lesion, which led to, upon healing process, it became so pigmented.
So do you ever worry as physicians that we will develop an over-reliance on the internet as opposed to visiting our neighbourhood or family doctors?
To put it honestly, my doctor friends, we would be slightly annoyed when someone came with printed sheets of what they gather from Google and all that. Definitely, over-reliance on internet, using too much of information without proper guidance, without really filtering the information, may lead to a lot of over-anxiety, and they may also wrongly judge the doctor who is taking care of them.
Too much information and poor information, not very helpful. Not helpful, but good information certainly is helpful.
Yes.
Both for the parents and also for early detection of problems by parents.
So where would you suggest parents obtain their information from? If the internet is too wide, if in-laws are potentially old-fashioned, where can parents
be going? You can start with Dr. Muda.
This kind of information online or books or magazines, they should be complementary to your consultation with the doctor. At the end of our consultation, I would say a meaningful, good consultation should end with written information. In our pediatric training, we are supposed to give written information. Maybe we prepared a sheets of information sheets. That should be after talking to your doctor, so that whatever the doctor may have left out or a general concept that is delivered by the doctor, and then you can read more in detail kind of thing. So it is more of you should read things online with guidance so that you do not get you get crazy about it. Because, for example, if you go to Google and you say adverse effects of a certain medication, you will get from brain tumor to seizures and all that, but that doesn't mean you get it, right? So, that kind of thing. So it should be guided.
Jeremy is asking, what about medical journals?
Medical journals?
There are journals for doctors and journals for parents. I think you need to put into perspective the sort of information you seek based on the knowledge requirement. I think for parents, really, you want to have simple, clear information. Yeah. In fact, there are lots of parenting books. There are lots of access to good websites where there are good parenting skills given. There are some portals, Ministry of Health has got its own portals. The specialist societies have portals where there are some simple information that are meant for public consumption and parents. So they are useful.
And aside from receiving that written information at the end of your consultation, surely you can also just ask your pediatrician where online I be going, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So to close off then, what does the future hold for drbudak.com?
Well, we want to... our core business is to maintain this online platform, right? For Q&A as an avenue for Malaysian parents to come forward and ask us questions. We want to continue to educate and really empower the Malaysian parents. Now, our aim is to really see a Dr. Budak effect in which there will be less late presentations, there'll be less refusal to do procedures like lumbar puncture because of misinformation, because of lack of trust on the medical practice kind of thing. So online presence, of course, if you ask us any future projects, we were looking forward to publish some books.
More information to the public, and hope to be more up to date in our information, as and when it arises.
So for parents who are interested in reaching out to you, that's drbudak.com?
Yes.
All right. Thank you both very much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Foo Chee Ho, pediatrician and co-founder of drbudak.com, as well as Dr. Kalarasu Periasamy, consultant pediatric dental surgeon who contributes to the site. drbudak.com is an online portal where you can ask your questions to pediatricians and pediatric specialists about anything you might have on your mind to do with your child. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.